bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what, because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot of judgment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people up. If you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth and The Truth App.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. Hour number two. Top five at five. You know what we can start doing? Every second hour, just title it Top Five at Five for Thursday, April 10th, 2025. And then that way Watch this. I'll be able to keep up on YouTube and Spotify and a website. Well, which one did I say that? Oh, yeah. It was Thursday. Click. Because otherwise I'll just, yeah. What are you? I'm online. Oh, so when I used to broadcast live, and I'm going to start doing that again on LinkedIn, I had like 87, like it was like 100 and something video. I was like, and I had to go through each one. Delete. Let me listen to this. Oh, I don't want to keep that. Keep this. So in my off time over the weekend, like I'd watch something on TV, commercial break, I would go through the videos and delete. And I got it down to like maybe 12. It took me 6 months. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I got to sit here and listen to all this. So I can only imagine what producers do. Okay, so I got to figure out this and edit this and do this and edit this and do this. And I used to do that, except we had tape. You know, like it wasn't digital. You couldn't like scroll through, cut. Paste, click, done. Right? Can't do that. Start here, boop, and chop up a whole show in the, 10 minutes? And if it take you 10 minutes, it's probably 10 minutes too long. But then there's some things that you have to take your time doing. Some things are more important than others, like lead in public schools. But do we argue about that? Do we debate that? Well,
number five
from CBS58.com. This is a serious issue. Tougher laws on unlicensed drivers. They're debating that in Madison. Wait, what? Victims impacted by unlicensed drivers called on state legislators and lawmakers to impose stricter driving laws during a public hearing yesterday. The Assembly Committee on Criminal Justice and Public Safety held a testimony on a bill that would impose stiffer penalties on unlicensed drivers and car owners. Under current law, the most drivers without a license who cause accidents receive citations or a misdemeanor charge and no jail time. David Maxey, Republican from New Berlin, is proposing legislation that would increase penalties on unlicensed drivers from $100 to $1,000. Proposal targets car owners by issuing $1,000 citations if they knowingly let someone without an active license borrow their car, which means they'll just say what? They stole my car, which is a what? Misdemeanor. Okay. So here's my deal. If this didn't happen in your community, see, unlicensed drivers must be making their way to the suburbs. You can always tell when the legislature starts getting mad and upset about something. That's because it hit there. Same thing like I said before. Teen pregnancy, nobody cared about till it hit the suburbs. Rap music and its influence, it's negative. Nobody cared about till it hit the suburbs. There are so many different scenarios and it's starting to affect a lot of people. That's what they say when it hits the white suburbs. Now it's affecting them. Now we got to do something about it. We're not going to care about lead abatement in a public school until somebody in the Arrowhead School District or Lake Country pops up, gets lead poisoning, and then there are going to be referendums and the governor going to find money coming out of his shoes to make sure he pays for it. And that's just how life is. When you're in the majority, you win. You're the king and the queen. You get all the gold. What do we get? Steak knives.
Number 4.
From WISN.com, Democratic Party Wisconsin Chair Ben Winkler will step down in June and not seek another term. Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chair Ben Winkler, W-I-K-L-E-R, will step down as party chairman when his term ends in January, capping off a 6-year stint overseeing several pivotal wins and losses. What are the pivotal wins? Here's my deal. I don't care who's in the Supreme Court. I don't care if you lose, and I don't care who the governor is. If you lose the presidential race in your state, y'all should get tagged. And I'm pretty sure that's why he's getting a, hey, it's been great. It's your time is over. My belief, this is what Winkler said, the best time to hand off the torch of leadership of an organization when things are going great. Okay, you only won 2 races, governor and Supreme Court. What about the president? What about the assembly? And what about the state senate? Because every single person that's been in charge of the Democratic Party all said what? We have a very real chance of winning majorities in the state assembly and state senate and the governorship to win a trifecta. Here's the problem with that. The last time the Democrats were in charge of all of both houses and the governors, we got nothing. We got zip. And if you think it's bad now, let all Democrats take over. Oh, you'll have to wait your turn again.
Number 3.
From WISN.com, a 66-year-old woman was hit and killed by a train in Wauwatosa. Union Pacific train hit and killed a 66-year-old Wauwatosa woman on yesterday afternoon. Milwaukee County Medical Examiner's Office identified the woman as Wanda Faye Harris. The train hit her near 111th and Burleigh Streets around 3:30 in the afternoon. Wauwatosa firefighters rendered life-saving measures, but the woman was ultimately pronounced dead at the scene. Wauwatosa police said the woman was walking east to west across the tracks as the train was approaching. Police called the incident non-criminal. Why am I reading this story? In a statement, this is why, from Union Pacific, they said the train stuck. Truck who? Talking too fast. In a statement, Union Pacific said the train struck and said the incident did not happen at the crossing. That's all they cared about. It wasn't at the crossing, y'all. That person was up there. They weren't supposed to be there. They called the woman who was killed a trespasser. Now, do you think that was the most sensitive language to use against someone who's 66 years old? Who got hit by a train and killed in a very graphic way? Like that, like that's your response? Union Pacific? She was like, oh, no. It's not my fault. She's a trespasser. Wow. Interesting.
Number two.
From Fox6Now.com. I guess it's on the way back, and they already said this. So when the police chief gave his update on crime, they stated that instances of human trafficking are starting to return. Prosecutors say 38-year-old Austin Chronister kept women in his house, assaulted them, forced them to have sex against their will, and made them change their last names. According to the criminal complaint, Chronister would throw BDSM parties at his State Street home, where one woman described an alleged sex dungeon was in the basement. Court records show he was bound over for trial in March and later posted $45,000 for the bond. So let's dig deeper into this human trafficking case. Case revolves around two women who say they moved into Chronister's home in 2017. Rules included sex on demand, being collared at all times. Both women said they were brutally sexually assaulted by Chronister and felt they could not leave. One woman said he would throw BDSM parties. If you don't know what that is, Google it. Not while your kids are around. For family and friends. And women said they were required to sign a contract that included obedience and deference, honesty, collar, and sex play. Also required the women to change their last name to Saint Pierre as visitors to House Saint Pierre, as the home was known. Visitors were showed around the house by another woman who is also named in the complaint. That woman, Kristen Saint Pierre, is named in the complaint against Chronister, but is not charged in the case. Criminal defense attorney records show St. Pierre owns the house along with Chronister. She was briefly an assistant district attorney and former 911 emergency operator. So she knew how to skirt the law because she's a lawyer. The complaint says St. Pierre, whatever the name is, also had a collar and would control the mail. It says she kept one woman's birth certificate and Social Security card in a safe. Maybe it's me. But when y'all say black people do some strange stuff, I don't think so.
Number one.
This also from Fox6Now.com. After outcry over recent U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement arrests at the Milwaukee County Courthouse Complex, there's a video circulating regarding another apparent immigration arrest. Fox 6 News spoke with the fiancée of the man on the video. She said when she first got the call, she thought it was a joke. Patricia Rainey describes what happened to her fiancé, Jose Rosas Morales. He is the man in this now viral video on social media. The video appears to show him getting arrested on Tuesday, April 8th on 33rd and Scott on the South Side. Rainey said her fiancé told her it was an ICE arrest. They just picked him up and took him. He texted me when he was at the detention center. They let him call and message me before they had to book him or whatnot. 33-year-old father of three, a Mexican native. Oh, he's a Mexican native? That's what we're calling people who are here illegally now, Mexican natives. Well, I'm an African native, I guess. Am I African native? Anyway, left Corden Racine and arrived at his Milwaukee home to get ready for work. She said agents arrested him before he could get inside. She said he was going to be detained at the Dodge detention facility until they can find a flight home for him to Mexico. Court records show he has a history of charges, including OWI and driving without a license. And so now people are, you know, up in arms. However, immigration attorneys told Fox 6 News, ICE has the right to arrest undocumented people, even if they haven't been convicted of or charged with a crime. Now, the couple does have a baby on the way, so that's a little tough. But if you knew someone was here illegally, right? If you knew someone was here illegally and they always have a chance of going to jail or getting deported, you have to be careful. And you have to start the procedure to become a citizen. And that's an unfortunate story. It really is. That is an unfortunate story. I wish that was something that hadn't happened, especially with something like OWI and, you know, driving without a license. That's a bit petty. However, technically, he should not have been here. And that's unfortunate. 833-212-1017 is the number. When we come back, I'm torn between two stories I want to talk about. And so I'm going to pick the one that I think is a little more titillating. Talks about Issa Rae.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
This is the JB's Monorail.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, 833-212-1017. Okay, yeah, I had to get a little James Brown up in there. You know what I'm saying? I guess I got a producer, got a little soul in him. So, you know, he got a little old soul in him. So, you know, you got to give him some, got to show him some love. 833-212-1017 is the number. Let me check the talking text line before I get in trouble. Curriculum first, yes, but lead has got to be corrected. That's all I'm saying. Yeesh, they were still hit by that dang train. How is that trespassing if there's no sign saying so? Okay, first of all, does your front yard have a sign that says no trespassing? No. Does your porch, does your house have a sign that says no trespassing? No. Because if you enter onto private property that is not owned by you, it's automatically trespassing. If you break in, it's burglary because there's an expectation of privacy. I'm just saying. So you don't have to have a sign that say don't park here when you got your name on the park. Okay, I'm just saying. If you're, that's like you opening up your garage door and driving away and leaving it open and I park in your garage. Hey, what are you doing in my garage? I don't see a sign that says no trespassing. Like, really? There's an expectation that you won't be there. There's an expectation that you won't climb up on train tracks and walk down the train tracks because the train tracks are actually owned by the railroad company. And you ain't supposed to be there. And if you walk your hiney over there with the sign at the crossing that say, ding, don't go, private property, don't go this way, don't walk this way, and you walk and get hit by a train, hey, it's unfortunate. It really is. Not really. A city girl says, seriously, people in the school board are as slick as a preacher in snakeskin shoes with a collection plate. Now, don't go all there now. See, we was talking about that the other day. See, I used to like you. Now you just hurt my feelings. They pulled a Marvin Sapp on us. You've been sapped. Y'all need to quit. the stepping song. So then why do people put up a sign that says no trespassing if it's not needed? As a reminder, just curious. Simply that. It's a reminder. It's actually a reminder. Because what you're saying is that if I don't have a no trespassing sign on my private property, you should be able to walk in anytime you want. Ain't that ridiculous? Like, does that make any sense? Curly Q? Okay. But I get what you're saying. I get it. Maybe. Anyway, so my question to you is, can black people, rephrase, are black people the only ones that can show black art? That can redo black things? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like shows about living in the neighborhood. Shows about living in a black middle class neighborhood. Like, could you watch The Cosby Show with a couple of white actors in there? Probably not. I mean, they tried it with A Different World. Didn't work. White girl at HBCU. Mm-hmm. I think they would have done better with a white guy at HBCU because I think that's more common. But I don't know. Are black people the only ones that can show black art, that can reveal black art, that can do black stories? One of the reasons Fences never became a movie was because the author, and why did I just forget his name, years and years ago, who was the resident playwright at Columbia College in Chicago, only wanted a black person to produce it. So when he passed away, his family said, if you're not black, you can't produce this. And it took until Denzel Washington got a hold of it and was able to show it. All right, somebody tell me. 833-212-1017. What's August Wilson. Who was that? Curly Q. Thank you. And I met him in passing in the hallway, right? I was in the radio department, and I'm walking and said, hey, how are you? Hey, how you doing? What's your name? And I forget what he said, right? And then later, I look over, and I remember seeing on a list, it was for graduation or something, you know, playwright in resident, August Wilson. I'm like, oh, he must be cool. Not knowing he was that August Wilson, right? And then you read plays and you see books, you're like, whoa. Is that something that we have to always keep or be cognizant of or keep close to the vest? Like we're very adept at adopting predominantly white shows and making them black. And we're okay with that, right? We took The Wiz, The Wizard of Oz, and basically made it all black. Michael Jackson, Diana Ross. Everybody's happy. Oh, that's so cute. That's great, right? But if we took Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, that was all white, and made it all black, would we be okay with that? Would white people be okay with that? If we took, let me try to think of Death of a Salesman. I mean, classic plays that are all white and made them black. But what if we took a movie like Friday? It made it all white. Or Uptown. What you looking like that for? Or Uptown Saturday Night. See, I think part of the problem is that we are so adept at living in two cultures that we forget that some people don't have to. That we are some of the few cultures that have to literally integrate ourselves and then disintegrate ourselves from white culture every day, a couple times a day. Talk to this person one day, talk to that white person another day, talk to this person this way, that person that way. Like change at the drop of a hat. And it's tiring, by the way. I'm trying to let y'all know it's tiring. That's why you reach a certain age, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not changing my words. It's us. It's we. No, it's not. It's I. It's me. Because that's how I talk. And I'm not changing my verbs. I'm not changing my adjectives. I'm not changing my nouns because somebody else said I should. That's just how I am. That's just how I'm wired. That's just how I'm made. I either fit or I don't fit. Curly Q said an all-white Friday would be weird. Like, are they going to be themselves or will they be trying to act black? Well, no. We get to act white, so why can't they act black? Right? Why not? It's a movie. Suspend your disbelief and let a white person play a black person. You always let black people play white people. I'm just saying. How racist are you? How prejudiced are you? How discriminatory are you? Or are you just human? And no, I'm not talking about code switching because I've never known white people to have to code switch. When white people code switch, it's weird. And you did Macbeth all black. Okay. Let's do the movie all black. Oh, yeah, we'll throw, you know, Roscoe C. Brown in Othello, and he can play Othello because he has the voice, right? We'll throw Denzel Washington in something, right? They'll say, hey, look, we got a black person. The black person playing. Look, black person. But then it's only like one or two. That's it. Anybody ever seen a Lifetime movie that had all black people in it? A Hallmark movie that had all black people in it? All. Like in a black neighborhood with a black. Every single time it's some small white town. And the resident, one black person, usually a woman, and the one black guy. But that black guy is never dating a white woman, and that black girl can date a black or a white guy. Because the person that did it is cognizant that they never, ever, anyway. See, y'all done got me. Cat on a Hot Tin Roof would be good with an all-black cast. I would like to see 12 Angry Men done with an all-black cast. I would like to see 12 Angry Men done with an all-black cast with a white guy on trial. That's what I want to see. That would be interesting to see how people would respond. Didn't Harry Belafonte play in a movie where the roles were reversed, where white people were enslaved and considered second-class citizens and black people ran everything? I'd love to see that. But Cat on a Hot Tin Roof would be great. That would be a great movie. 12 Angry Men, all black with a white man on trial. The only problem with that is you already know the outcome. You already know it. So that'll be interesting. 833-212-1017 is the number.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. White man's burden. Somebody said, Lana Banana said, a black 12-year-old girl wrote Shakespeare. I'm not understanding. Like, I don't understand what it is you mean, a black girl wrote Shakespeare. She wrote like Shakespeare? But I don't know if, what? So Shakespeare was a 12-year-old black girl? I'm just saying. So I said, I like that movie, The White Man's Burden. Okay. I got to go watch it again. Does anybody go to plays, by the way? I like going to plays. I'm just not patient enough to sit there, right? And so I've always wanted to be an actor. Like, I did that. That's what I did in college. In high school, I danced and all that and sung and all that. And in college, I was in plays. And I did a play about Malcolm X and played the lead role as Malcolm X. It was kind of cool. I loved it. I just, when I was in college, I did everything that in my mind I thought I should at least try that. And I gave it 100%. And people told me, you know, you should work on being an actor. And I got it. Because I absolutely loved radio. And so that was that. Maybe we need to put a play trip together. Go see a play that's coming to town and get Truth Nation together and dress up and go out and maybe go to dinner and chop it up after or something like that. I don't know. I don't know. Just talking off the top of my head. 833-212-1017 is the number. After Ava DuVernay let Ryan Coogler direct Black Panther because a black man could do it better, related to T'Challa, Spielberg said in hindsight he shouldn't have let a black person. He should have let a black person direct The Color Purple. Yeah, he should have. I think of the pivotal scene. You remember the pivotal scene when Oprah Winfrey got mad and she was walking through the field? Black people don't walk like that. And so some of the stage direction and some of the direction you get on the set lends authenticity to what people are doing. And when you get like that, you go, yoo-hoo. Yes, that's not how black people do. Like, black people are not interchangeable, right? You can't, like, pick this person up. But the ethnic background is too broad. Now, we always think about that when we think about white people. Is it going to be a good fit? Where's this person from? What do they do? Income? All that. Black people, they just move us around like a chess piece. Ah, don't matter if it's a queen. It don't matter if it's a pawn. Just use them. Just plug them in. And sometimes that frustrates me because I see where the wrong person can be in the wrong space. And when you say something, the reply is, well, they're black. I'm like, we're not some monolithic group that we all fit in each other's place. Like, it's just, well, we're going to replace a black woman with a black woman. We're going to replace a black man with a black. No, because if you get the wrong one, it's interesting. Carolyn say, I already have a white boy living like a black boy. I don't know what that means. That can be taken on so many levels. Wayne said, Dr. Ken, so what do you consider Hamilton? I consider Hamilton to be a play that is a takeoff on the Constitution. At a time, I mean, there are a significant number of ironies in Hamilton, and I think that was part of the point of Hamilton, is that you had people, some of them who really didn't understand what the Constitution was about anyway. And so their interpretation was kind of like, But, however, and I do, well, I guess I do mean but, because in contrast to that, Hamilton was an irony. I look at it that it would be ironic and downright hypocritical that you would put a black person to play George Washington. Because George wasn't black. I mean, the slave that had his kid was, but George Washington wasn't black. So I'm just saying. Oh, 833-212-1017 is the number. They got a black man playing Dr. Watson. Okay, we're talking about a character versus real life. Can we find, but again, I guess that's what Hamilton is about too. But Carolyn was talking about they have a black man playing Dr. Watson. Okay. That is true. Dr. Watson was with Sherlock Holmes. Who's playing Sherlock? See what I'm saying? We can never play the boss. We always got to play the number two. That's like watching Batman. Like, would they ever make Batman a black guy? Would they ever make Superman a black guy? Absolutely not. No black person could do that. They wouldn't let him. Can you see a black man playing the part that Tom Cruise plays in Mission Impossible? And if y'all come up with that knucklehead Michael B. Jordan, absolutely not. He's a terrible actor. Terrible actor. Terrible. Idris Elba. He could play James Brown. Sterling K. Brown, I've never seen Sterling K. Brown in anything that was high action, high energy, like a Mission Impossible. I don't think so. I don't think so. James Bond, Idris Elba, absolutely yes. Most definitely. I can see that. I could definitely see that. I can see that. Carolyn said, it means my son-in-law acts and dresses like a black thug. You know, white guys are thugs too. I'm just saying. White guys are thugs too. And you know, black guys learn how to be thugs from white guys. Because y'all was the original. You know, 1920s. All that. Okay. I'll just check it. Because, I mean, I get it, but the Angel says Spike Lee should remake White Man's Burden. Idris Elba should star in a remake of Brubaker. Those would be great. But see, I want Spike to be true to the craft. Sometimes I get tired of messages. I'm not looking for real life. I'm looking for fantasy. It's a movie. I don't want to go and be more pressed, more distressed, and more depressed because I went to go see this movie and I got me jazzed up. I don't. I just don't. Like, the whole point of a movie is entertainment. You want me to go to a movie and now I'm depressed and now I'm mad because I went and saw this movie and then it upset me and I don't know. Hey, y'all, Stephen A. Smith talking about running for president in 2018. Somebody should tell Stephen A. Smith to stop smoking. Whatever he's smoking, he should stop. But I guess he figured out there's other people running and winning. He could run too. He was speaking to the National Association of Broadcasters Convention in Vegas. Outspoken ESPN star said that he's starting to take the idea of running for president in 2018 a bit more seriously. I've got a good life. I don't want to be a politician, but I won't close the door. Which means what? Nothing. Nothing. I don't think so. I don't think Stephen A. Smith should. Yeah. Nah. I don't think so. Seriously. I just don't think so. And so let me get back to Donald Trump before we go to break. At some point, are we talking like Donald Trump would then go into what, black art, black theater, black, like, do we just erase the world of black people or something? Or, I don't know. I think tomorrow I'm going to jump into some stories that I came across about the insurrection and how people are, what's the word I'm looking for? Bothered by the Insurrection Act and how and how they believe they're going to dismantle America and go back to slavery and all that stuff. And so I want to read the article tomorrow. And I want to get your opinion, and then I'll give you my opinion on what the percentage is that this will occur. Because I keep hearing it over and over and over, and people are wringing their hands and doing all these things. I just don't know. I think the evidence that they're using is not, I don't know. I'm torn. So I'm going to have you help me tomorrow. Look at the Insurrection Act and how they want to use it. And so people are saying they're gonna. But I'm like, okay, so what gives you that? Well, look at what he's doing here. That's great. Connect those dots and show me how we're going to get from there to complete and total lawlessness. Help me. How Congress and the Supreme Court are going to let the Trump administration do some of these things. And so tomorrow I want to dive in on the Insurrection Act and the possible effect it can have not just on Black America, but it'll have an effect on everyone in America. And I don't mean all the white people win and everybody else don't, because the Insurrection Act is very specific. And we have a Supreme Court that has proven, hey, there's only so far you're going to go. You can take your administrative law, you can take your executive privilege that you get as president in the White House, but you're not a king, and you're really not in charge of making people do whatever you want them to do, say what you want them to say, live where you want them to live. But then I want to do juxtapose to when we were fighting to get a Civil Rights Act, the same group of people that are working now weren't working then. The same group of people that were fighting for us then are working against us now. And so I want to look at that schism and how they have come to pass today in relation to that thing called insurrection.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
And so, breaking news, the Supreme Court of the United States has ruled that the Trump administration or the State Department or the Justice Department has. Remember the guy that they took, scooped up off the street and took him back and said he was an illegal, when in fact he had asylum here because they said if he got sent back, he would be killed? Well, they went to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court ruled against the Trump administration and said they must facilitate his return to the U.S. because he has paperwork, he has permission from the State Department to be here, and he has asylum. So that is a good win. And luckily, it was against the Trump administration in just scooping people up off the street without checking their status to find out whether or not they belong here. But if you're here undocumented, ICE has every right to deport you. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. Tory Lowe Show's coming up next. I will see you in 22 hours. God bless. Take care. Glenn, appreciate you. And I will see you on tomorrow. I'm out.